We go. Hey, what's going on? It's Mario, Final Approach, new FA podcast about to start. And before we do, we always thank our partners who keep us going. And we actually have one of our partners today. So we'll thank Federal Ammunition. That'll be first. And talk to Josh here in a minute. And then, of course, we got Roger Sporting Goods. We got Weatherby. We have Leupold. And a new one this year for us, which is cool, is Dogtra, on the dog side of things, which is cool. And of course, Tyler up at Saskatchewan Goose Company up in Canada. So we got Josh Vickers. So Josh, give me your actual title because I know things are changing and stuff goes on, but we're gonna but you fire away, Bubba.
Yeah, no, so I'm the Shot Show product line manager. And essentially what that means is, I kind of manage the catalog, run the roadmaps, looking into the future, what your products are gonna handle, stuff like that. And that, I mean, that's at the very base level of kind of what my job is. It's a lot more of this is, it's a very cross-functional position. I get to work very closely with engineering,
For
which is
sure.
the team I came from. I work with sales closely. I get to work with marketing closely. It's kind of part of my job ultimately is to kind of have a pulse on the market and, kind of keep the direction that we need to go.
Here's what I'm using this year.
Yes.
Or
Classics.
let me go this one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, real classics. I like it.
Bro, there's nothing even in here. These are just like, oh my God, I don't even know when this is. I don't even know when this was made. This is like going way back.
Yeah, those are like 70 packaging.
Oh, for sure. Three. So this one's 28. So this is 2 3/4 inch, 1 ounce 6s. And then this
those
one,
those aren't are
same thing,
those
1 ounce 4s on this one.
does it say steel on there or does it say I can't remember on those boxes or is it lead boxes?
I think this is lead.
Yeah. So what's funny is
Yeah.
I'm a fourth generation employee of Federal Cartridge.
Yeah, you
And
are. This is a cool story. Go ahead.
yeah,
For sure.
so fourth generation. So my grandpa and grandma, my great grandma worked here, and my dad works here. And actually my wife works here too, which is
Oh, are you kidding me?
yeah. Yep. But my grandpa, worked there for 42 years. He was a ballistics technician, ballistician. And so he had, he's a very particular fellow when it comes to keeping things mint and
I'm
clean.
sure.
And so he has got ammo that goes way back from when he started. He retired in 2010. So, goes back to basically the 60s, right? And so he's got packaging and stuff that'll go into his little kind of high value, not, I shouldn't say high value, but his little collector's
Well,
area.
yeah.
He's got a bunch
Yeah.
of cool old packaging that's just mint. And it's awesome. Fully loaded rounds. And it's kind of timeless keepsakes for the family, unless there's a
For
gift
sure, for
coming.
sure. That's history stuff. That's why I said that's why I keep that stuff around. I mean, I got calls and other stuff that's old, like older than my kids and stuff. So it's
Yeah.
cool to have stuff like that for sure. 'Cause you gotta decorate your man cave with something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Hey, let's start on what's new for this year. And just kind of go that route because I mean, there's always something that listen, there's always something that you guys gotta have new.
No,
All of us. Like everybody's gotta have
always.
something new, or everybody's like, oh, they'll forget about us. So
Yeah.
on your side of things, what's new for you guys? And I'm sure people have already seen it, but it's out.
Yeah, so I'd say the big new one in the waterfall space for this year is going to be the Raptor Steel, which we did in collaboration with Rob Roberts. Obviously, you've seen it at Rogers Waterfall Weekend. It's doing really well, good notoriety behind it. We're super excited for it. And the gist of that is essentially it's an ounce and 3/8. It's nothing really new. A lot of manufacturers or legacy manufacturers have had ounce and 3/8, years and years ago. But really, by having an ounce and 3/8, it's getting essentially 10% more pellets in your payload. So twos, we came out with twos this year. And so, going from 150-ish pellets to, oh, closer to 170, 175 pellets. So, if you shoot like me, you need all the pellets you can get. So And it's a good balance of velocity and payload, and we're looking really forward to it. I got the product test some of it snow goose hunting, and it hammers for anybody that's you know, a little hesitant on the speed side. You know, there's obviously a balance, and you know, I'm sure you got me on edge by a little bit. You're probably used to some of that gold steel that was even slower, you know, 1300, 1350.
Oh, for sure.
And so that's kind of the new big hitter for this year in waterfall. Super excited about that one. You know, Rob's he's in a, you know, we work with Rob closely too, and obviously. So you know, getting his little bit of his DNA on the product is awesome, and it's got a, you know, a unique green hull which kind of stands out compared. It looks really neon on the screen here, but
yeah,
it's
got a neon
look to it as well. Kind of matches his color scheme. So that's the big one, and then I would say probably the next biggest, which isn't maybe getting the most as much notoriety as I think it should, is 16 gauge Black Cloud. You know, not a lot of 16 gauge manufacturers out there, especially in the waterfall space, but
sure.
But I think that's a real cool one. And you know, 16 gauge kind of has that, you know, nostalgia heritage of, you know, it's kind of the go-to gauge for a long, long time, right? And so
coming up for sure.
With that, and 16 gauge has been cool. I'm gonna try to hunt with it a little bit here this weekend. It's our Minnesota's duck opener this weekend, so that's what
gotcha.
I'm gonna take out.
Gotcha.
Take out the 16 gauge. We did heavy bismuth in 16 gauge and 28 gauge as well. So,
oh yeah, 28's kind of come strong. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now this one you might like. I don't know if you're a big 3.5 inch guy, but ultra steel and 3.5s. So BB's twos, and then also in 10 gauge.
Listen, there's still guys that chase that. Listen, because here's the thing that we could talk about while you're talking about that kind of stuff. There's different guys chasing different data, right? And what I mean by that is there's guys who are chasing speed. There's guys and girls. There's hunters chasing speed. There's hunters chasing pellets, right? How many pellets? Like, because you were just talking about up in pellets on the Raptor stuff.
Yep.
So some hunters are chasing pellets. Some are chasing payload. I mean, there's
shot size. There's all sorts of
things. For sure. Like, there's so many different things to chase. And everybody always says, like, what's important, right? There's different, like, I don't know, like, I'm a speed guy. I want to stay at my speed, right?
Yep.
Because of my lead, right?
Yep.
So I feel that helps me best, right?
Yeah.
I'm not
skills,
a,
man.
Right. I'm not a pellet guy. Whatever. I am a speed, and then I feel like 3-inch twos for me, and that speed at 1550 or 1500 to 1550, that's my spot, right?
Yep.
And I think, you know, hunters can try stuff, you know, before the season and get going, but at some point, you, if you're not shooting well or things aren't going well, you have to get in some kind of rhythm. So all that data, like, you got to take all that data and find out, like, what's best for you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I know there's so much anymore, but, like, you have to do that, or else you're just never going to shoot consistently.
No, you know, and I'm obviously tied up in the data every day at work, so
for
I
sure.
see all the pattern tests.
You see it all.
I see the load development stuff. I get to get a peek behind the curtains, which I know sometimes maybe it hurts me because I'm a gear guy, but I'm a hunter. I like hunting everything, with whether it's shotguns, rifles, bows. I try to do it all. I like it all. But being a gear guy, I get into the data sometimes, and I feel like I get paralysis by analysis to some degree. But what I found, you know, from any of my setups, whether I'm hunting big game with the rifle, my archery stuff, and even my shot shell stuff now, it's I'm looking for I like a happy medium balance of it all, whether it's shot size, the pellet count, the velocity. You know, and
right.
for me, like, I'll be up front, for the longest time, I was a blue box 142, an ounce and a quarter, 1450, number three is guys. For whatever reason, I felt like I would shoot more ducks. And now I've transitioned a little bit and shot, and I've become a better shot. So that obviously helps too. But for the longest time, I was confident in that load. That's all I use for ducks. Now geese, I would jump up to geese. But with that said, it was, it, like I said, to go back, it's that confidence kills. And so whatever you're
for
confident
sure.
with, just keep shooting that. Like, you know, obviously, you know, anytime I can, you know, pitch Ultra Steel or Black Cloud or Raptor Steel, like I'm gonna, because I do think that there's advantages to those.
But there's no doubt.
If speed shock is your load, don't switch. Don't switch. You don't need to, you know.
You know,
so there's always more than, you know, one way to skin a cat, per se. You know,
there's no doubt. There's no doubt. You know, I do, you know, like when we're shooting video and we're shooting the episodes of the last pass and we got to do that. And it's like, no one wants to watch a bunch of hunters miss on a video, right? Or cripple stuff or do stuff. So, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen on there, cause it does, but what I'm saying is when I'm looking at a situation on what we're going to do, like, okay, we're going to shoot ducks in close. Like, you can't kill them any more dead with whatever we're shooting. So we'll go with blue box, or we shoot like maybe the stacked Ultra Steel, or we do something like that.
Yep.
Like we don't have to go overkill, but when it counts and when you need something, like you said, to pull out of your bag, like, okay, we're up in Saskatchewan and, you know, there's cranes and honkers in a field, or there's just big honkers and it's later in the season and they, you know, they're a lot tougher and they got a good skin on them, or we're shooting divers, right? Like you have to look at the situation and go, okay, I better bump up to Black Cloud, you know, or like Ultra Steel and go, you know, do a fat stack of, you know, heavy load, you know, you got to do something else, because this isn't just going to like fully cut it. And I got to think guys are, you know, all hunters are looking at it the same way. And of course it's what you can afford and what you go buy do all that stuff. Like, we don't have to get into all that. Like, yes, there's different levels, but you get what you pay for. So I got to think there's a tool for everything. And that's how I try to use that. You know, that's why when I talk about it, I go, listen, they have everything for whatever you're chasing. You know what I mean? Like, there really is. Yeah. I mean, you name it. Like, you know, we go up to Canada and it's like, you don't know what we're going to get into. You know, we always go late in the season. We never know what we're going to, like, there might be snow still there. The cranes might be still lagging around. There might be a couple. You might see, we might get a pile of ducks. We might get lessers. We might get snows. We might get specks. Like, you know, so heck, we might take a day off and go walk the roads and shoot some grouse and you need 410, right? So it's like, so I always take 410. So it's like, you don't know what's going to go on. So I think you truly have to be ready for anything. And that goes throughout the season. Like, I always bump up, like you said, or I should say bump down in, you know, pellet size if I'm shooting geese. You know, I'm going to go to a Black Cloud and I might go to BBs or I might stay at twos, but I'm also just not like grabbing a box and going, hey, I'll try this morning and I never shot it. You know what I mean? Because I think that's a huge mistake. We've all seen that. Like, I think that's a huge mistake that guys are making, hunters are making, is, you know, haven't shot it, going to grab it, going to go try it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you could do that for sure, but you don't know what the outcome's going to be.
That's right.
I mean, you're a data guy, so, I mean, that sounds like a total giant no-no to do that. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm going to stop at the store the night before, and I'm just going to go, yeah, let's try this.
Yeah. And, you know, I always do tell people, I said, you should pattern your guns, not just to go waste ammo and go buy more, but you should get a feel of what your gun throws, because at the end of the day, too, it's, you know, while we try to build product that's robust enough to, you know, get similar pattern densities across the board in any platform, there's always going to be that relationship to your choke, your gun, and your ammo. Like that, there's a whole marriage there that you got to kind of balance. And so, if you're a really good shooter and you're on them all the time, like it doesn't hurt to have a little tighter choke. And that's another
Right.
thing. I don't want to derail where I'm going, but it's like I'm of the mentality that pick a choke and
For
stick
sure.
to it.
So am I.
Like swapping them out all the time, like. It can be, I mean, maybe for some shooters, obviously, it's going to be they're good enough where they can open it up or tighten it up based on what the situation is.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, like I'm like a mod, improved mod type guy, whether it's a rapper, like I'm a big R2, Rob Roberts R2 guy,
Right,
but
right.
I shoot Carlsons, I've shot just about every choke on the
Everything.
market.
Sure.
And so, but I'm one where I like to try to pick a pretty consistent constriction and just get to know my gun. Because sometimes you're hopping ammo, oh, it doesn't fit as good. But at the same time, you got to learn your gun a little bit too. So.
There's no doubt, listen, we, I've been, screaming about this for years and in seminars and going to places and talking to people and, and listen, hunters always ask like, hey, what do you use or what are you doing? Like that question always comes up. So it's like, I always go like, listen, this is what I use. This is what I'm comfortable with, but this is also what I've shot for a long time. So I'm used to it. You talk to a baseball player who is a good hitter, and it is, this is what I do. And if something's going wrong, this is what I do. Like they have all their, let's say, progressions all lined up, and I have my progressions lined up. Like you were talking chokes. Like, so if we're shooting big geese or cranes, that's probably the only time I'll change my choke and try to get a little tighter. You know what I mean? If I'm going to shoot, because I want to be right on, I want pellet count on target. I want to be a little tighter, and I want headshots, because I don't want cripples, especially on the cranes. Like you're talking about a little bit of action if you have a live crane or a crippled crane. Like you're asking for trouble. So I will totally do that, but that's the only time of the year that I'll do that. But I've shot that, you know what I mean? So I'm familiar with it again, right? So I know what I got to do. And listen, it might take me a couple shots to get right back on, you know what I mean? But it's not going to take me like all morning and nothing happens good, right? So I think that consistency, and I think like you doing your homework, going through stuff, like, and listen, some guys just don't care. Like, I get it. Like, hey, I'm just grabbing a couple boxes, or I grab this case and I shoot okay and I kill a couple ducks, or I kill a couple, like, bro, go for it. Like, whatever's your deal, like, I'm good with it. And then there's the scientists who like go down to like, I need to be at this weight, the dram needs to be here, and I need to be 1 1/4, and I can't be here, or I can't be whatever. Like, there's a lot of science in it, and there's a ton of it if you really want to be in it. Like you can go to the rabbit hole, like you can go down far.
I've been there.
I've been consistent with Blue Box and a Pattermaster and the gun that I shoot from Weatherby, and I stay consistent. And I think, like you say, confidence, right? I think confidence and consistency kills no matter what it is. Like you find your whatever it is, like you say, you're gonna shoot a Rob Roberts, and then you're gonna shoot the Raptor load or Blackhawk or whatever. Like you know what one's gonna do what. So you're in your zone. So that's consistency. And then you're confident because you are shooting birds. And then you also know your limits too. You know what I mean? I know how far out, if we're shooting ducks and one's getting out, like I know if I can take that shot on the way out, if he's hit once and I know I could back up somebody and I know how far that is, and I just go, I could do it. But there's other times, like on snows, and you know this, like on snows, it's
Oh,
like
yeah.
they're not playing, they're messing around, you think they're gonna make one last turn and then they don't, and then you're like the next group are like, maybe we gotta take them tall. And listen, there has been times I will confess that birds are coming in and everybody's like, you want to try them? And I'm going, and I'm like, if you guys want to try them, like, go ahead. And then everybody stands up and nobody cuts a feather. And I'm sitting there just going, like, I know I'm not going to kill anything at that range, right? So I'm literally sitting on my hands and I just watch everybody else, and maybe somebody sails one or they cut a feather, but it's not
That's
good.
not it. Yeah.
But I know after years of, like you said, shooting, what I'm shooting, what I'm used to shooting, how far I'm used to shooting, and I go, I'm sitting that out. Like I and it's and it am I up for wasting shells? Like I'm up for shooting for sure, but like wasting shells, I get to the point where I'm just like I'm just wasting them at that point, because I already know. And then that kills your confidence, because if you stand up and
Exactly.
run it dry on three and don't cut a feather, you're like, what's the next group going to be like? And I'm not
Right.
saying don't try if you want to. I'm just saying don't be bothered. Maybe you're going to have to shake it off, right?
Oh, that's one of the main things I've noticed in my, like, over the last, 6 years or so. I used to chase waterfowl hard. And it was more of that bull bust stage in my career of waterfowl hunting, where it's
Yeah.
just run it dry every time, just about. And now it's like, I just know it's not going to help my confidence. And there's very little chance it's a clean kill and you're going to sail one off into the cattails, or you're going to sail one across the field if you don't
Right.
got a good dog. Like, low
For sure.
probability. And I don't like, I'm very attuned to rules and regulations. And if I wound one and cripple one, it comes towards my bag, as it should, right? And so I'd rather have a bird in the hand than one in the bush, right?
Well,
So,
listen.
like, I just don't take those shots anymore because I don't like crippling them and not finding them. That's not, it doesn't make me feel good, and it doesn't help my confidence. And
Well, being the guy with the dog, right? I'm the guy chasing everybody's cripples. So,
you get twice as many steps in.
do I want more cripples? No. Does the dog want more cripples? Maybe. He probably enjoys that part. Like, okay.
Maybe not
So,
the fifth day, but the first few days, anyways.
but I don't, and it's just like, and then the other thing is, listen, you're out of the blind, you got to walk wherever, you're screwing up, everybody else
Oh,
hunting,
yeah.
because you have to walk straight out front, obviously. So now everybody's got to hold off on shooting, and then however long it takes. And like you said, I have the dogs, so I have the street sweepers. So now it's my job to do everything I can to find the cripple. So, because we don't want to just leave birds, like that's your whole ethical thing. So I'm not trying to do that. So then it's like, I'm in a duck club and this whole routine, and I'll say, okay, we got to shoot better, like after the first or second go, or I'm just going to say, hey, we're going to take closer shots and I'm going to call it a little closer or whatever, because I can't be doing this all day. A, it's not helping us. It's not helping everybody's confidence. And if you've guided hunters or done stuff, like I've done the same thing. Like the last thing you want to do is call far shot, have a bunch of guys miss, and then that's in their head all day. Like, no, we're there to have fun. You want to get them as close as you can. And it's
Finish
like,
them is fun.
yeah. I'll share a good story. So I'm at a seminar one time, and it's here in Oregon. And obviously we got big river systems here, right? So we got the Columbia, which is giant. And somebody says, like, how comfortable are you, like, sending your dog really far on birds on the river? And I was like, and I was kind of like, I was kind of was taken back, and I'm like, comfortable. And I'm trying to think. I'm like, what? Like, he's asking me like how comfortable I am, like sending the dog on like something far because you got the tide. I mean, you could be by the shipping channel. And I'm
Yeah.
thinking myself, and then like the light bulb just went off, and I go, well, I don't really send them that far. I said, we try to kill stuff like right in the deep points. And I kind of came off like as a jerk, but it was like that's really what we're trying to do, because I won't take those far shots on a place like that that has tide going out or coming in, whichever way. The dog could be taken out with the tide, and then we gotta jump out, we gotta get the boat untied, we gotta grab some brush, and we gotta hurry up and get on plane and go get the dog or go chase the bird. Like that to me is an absolute waste. So I was like, well, we don't do it, because I don't want to spend like I don't want to untie the boat and take some brush off and take the motor cover off, and I don't want to do that like every third bird.
Right. You're just gonna, you're gonna end up with less burdens because you're not there and you're messing it up, right?
All that,
Yeah.
all that. So it's like,
So there's
I
always
would
going to be the
rather.
one-off, right? The exception where it was just a
Yeah,
bad
for
shot and it
sure.
was close.
For sure.
But
I'm not
you
saying
got
it
to
doesn't
increase your
happen.
odds.
Right. But I would, like you said, I would rather sit, work them in close, shoot them, try to keep them right here. And then the dog's got easy retrieves, 25, 30 yards, like done and back, and we're all good. You know what I mean? And if we got to pull a boat and we got to chase one, if it's really going with the tide or whatever, then we're set. But it's like, but that goes for like anything. Like the more time you spend outside and don't have clean kills, you know what I mean? The less time you're like hunting and having a good time,
100%.
And it's like, I don't know. I mean, that's gotta like, I know guys are just out to have fun and do stuff, but you gotta look at a point like, let's maximize our fun today. You know what I mean? So we're not chasing birds, we're not doing it just takes, it doesn't take much to be dialed in with your shotgun, choke, shell. Like you said, a little bit of patterning to see what's on the board, how you feel. Shooting some clays, to get ready for the season. I would rather, and I'm like a live flyer person more so. And what I mean by that is I'd rather go to like a blueberry farm and shoot starlings for the farmer, or go shoot pigeons, or go shoot something that truly flies instead of just shooting clays. Like I've been big on that for a long time, because like I get it, clay targets, if that's all you can do, it comes out and it goes. Like starlings are dipping and diving, and so are pigeons. And if you go shoot doves, like obviously the dove warm up is awesome for everybody. So all that comes into play, going down the road through the season. And once again, we go back to that consistency and confidence. Like it is.
I would say, not to go back. Like, I agree with you what you're saying 100%. Like, but on the clay target side, like when I started shooting sporting clays, which is more different angles, different types of presentations, my upland and waterfowl hunting went, my proficiency in the field went through the roof better, right? And that's, I don't always start gun down. A lot of times I'm pre-shouldered, but sometimes you
Sure.
don't know where they're coming from. So it is
Sure.
more instinctive shooting. So, that would be one piece of advice if you don't have access to, going to shoot pigeons or doves or whatever. Like, go shoot some knowledge of sporting clays before the season. You'll know that some of those birds are coming out pretty damn fast. And there's some long targets that,
For sure.
help kind of hone you in. And there's a pile of close ones. We call them teal, and there's all sorts of different names for the different presentations. But,
Right.
it's, I would
It's
say,
rhythm.
spend more time practicing, like, on clays or doves or pigeons, low-pass stuff. And you're going to see improvements in the field for sure.
Yeah, I mean it's practice no matter what it is, and it's rhythm. I always talk about you got to be in a rhythm, because because clays, you're in a rhythm, right? You're like ready to go. Wherever the flyer is coming from, like you're ready to go. It's pull, they come out, you go, whatever. It is a rhythm that you get into. It is a rhythm, and it is consistency and consistency and rhythm that all falls into place down the road. And as you keep going, it's getting better. And listen, everybody's gonna go through a lull or a bad shooting section, whether it's a couple times or once or whatever through the season. And when that happens, like there'll be somebody I hunt with that kind of gets in, and I'm not saying I don't, because I do. But then I kind of refocus and I have a whole thing that I do. What I tell them is like, okay, I'll watch them and see what they do. And it's like, sometimes I think they like get super focused, almost too focused. And it's like, and they're thinking like, got to get the gun, and I got to get the gun up, and I got to get it, and I got to get ahead of
Less
the bird, and I got to
instincts.
do, you know what I mean? And it's just like, no. Like, just wait and just literally pick the gun up and shoot it. Like, literally pick the gun up and kill the bird. Like, just do it, because that's what you were doing before. You weren't thinking about it. You weren't concentrating on your lead and how far I got to be. You were just in a rhythm. Like, that's what was going good. And then something got in your head and like derailed the whole thing, right? So, that's my advice, on somebody that gets in a slump. And if you get in a slump, try it, because it's just like, and I tell everybody like don't hold the gun and don't hold it like this, and you're just ready. Like, just put the gun down and literally just like pull up, literally just pull up and shoot. That's it. That's it. Like, that's all I want you to do. Like, let me get my emails out of here. I was getting emails.
No, you're good.
Just literally, like, wherever you put the gun in the blind, just so it's in reach. Maybe you just keep your hand on it, or it's within reach, and literally just grab it and get up and shoot. And it'll all, you won't be thinking about anything. It'll just be back to normal. It'll just be back to your rhythm. And hopefully that's what that's what it'll go back to instinct. And you'll just be like, and all you gotta do is shoot that one bird. And then you're like, I'm.
I mean, how many times has it been where, birds are working, they're coming in, and, say it's a 10-pack mallard, whatever it is, right? You guys, it's that, wait, and you kill two, and it's five, and it's like, what the hell? And then all of a sudden, two teal will buzz you, and it's like, holy shit, and you just grab and shoot, and you guys get them both, and it's like, how? It goes back to that instinct, one of the things I think, and this is something that I have historically struggled with, is you get like big water mallards or big water geese. Goes back to that flock shooting, like, holy, they're all here, how can I miss? And then you don't get basically anything out of the volley, and then all of a sudden you can go down to your roll and your blinds, or on your A-frames, whatever you got, and it's like any person can shoot a single easy, but then a whole flock comes in and everybody gets in that flock shooting mentality. And so being able to kind of stay in your lane, shoot your lane, right? And then,
There's no doubt.
focus on a singular bird, right? And that's like the only thing that I have to remind myself to think about, shouldering the gun, head down, and like, I don't think about that. The small thing I need to worry about is like, pick a bird and just stay on that one, whether they're circling or they're decoying, just try to stay in your lane and pick the one that makes most sense to you. And that, I feel like, always gets more birds on.
Everybody talks about like deer fever, and like you're on the rifle
Oh, yeah.
and the deer comes out and you got him in the scope, and you're just thinking, you're like, it's big deer, it's your first deer, it's just a deer, like, whatever,
Yeah,
doesn't matter,
whatever
right?
is making your heart sick.
You're going like, so I think the whole duck fever or goose fever or whatever you want to call it is exactly what you're talking about. It's like sensory overload. It's a big group coming, and you're so excited because it's a huge group, and you can't put your finger on one bird. And I know it's hard in the time, but like you said, that's literally exactly what you have to do. You have to just go, okay, the group is awesome. Like, maybe they come a couple passes. Like, I always tell everybody, like, enjoy the show until
Oh,
it's
yeah.
time. Like, enjoy
That's the
it. You don't
best
have to,
part.
like, Yeah, you don't have to like go crazy and go, I gotta pick a bird, I gotta pick a bird. Like, just watch it, and then And then it's like, hey, we're going to take them on this path. So now they just came in front. They just went out. And you're like, okay, now I got to focus. Now they turn. Now they start coming. And it's like you're looking, and they start. You know, they're doing this. There's some on
They're
the top and some
dancing.
on the bottom. And then it's
Yep.
like they're just about to center up, and you're like that one right there. And you
Yeah.
just wait, and then you just start. So
Oh,
like what I always do, I'm selfish. I wait. I watch what's going on, and as they're coming, and if whether I'm calling it or somebody else is calling it, as soon as they call it, then everybody starts, and then I just go, well, I wait for the madness to start and then see where they're going, see where the escapees are trying to get
they're
out, and I
finally.
just go, that one.
So it's funny you say that because, like, me and my good buddy that he got me into waterfowl hunting when we were in middle school. And, my best bud, me and him are like the most, I would say, savvy waterfowl hunters. So when we get birds working, we're basically always looking for the same thing, whether it's a, the perfect plumed out widgeon. But a lot of times we're like fighting over the pintails. And like, we used to call them out, but now over the years, it's more of a competition to see
Keep it
who can
quiet.
spot the. See who can spot the pintail in the flock. So we try to cherry pick it. There's times where it's on either side, right? I'm not going to shoot across lanes and try to
Sure.
shoot at it.
Sure. Sure.
But yeah, it's funny because we try to do stuff like that. Now. It's fun.
Well, and that's what makes it fun, and that's what makes it cool. But here's another thing that I was gonna just touch on. Like, as soon as you said that, that first thing came to mind. You know, if you have a hunting partner or two that you consistently hunt with, also the more that you guys hunt together, the more you guys get into a rhythm as far
Oh,
as like as a group, right? Because like you said, you know you're not going this way or you're going to shoot your lane, but you also know, like I'm not the first guy to shoot, and I'm never the guy that's shooting the closest bird. Like ever since I guided, that changed my whole perspective. When I guided and I had a back cleanup, and then I'm taking people, or I have, customers or partners or people we're taking or contest winners, like I'm not shooting the ones with their feet down
the
right in the
cherries,
hole.
yeah.
Never. Like I've never done that unless like it's two of us in the boat and it's my turn. And it's feet down, and like
Yeah,
that's me.
that's a different
Perfect.
story. Yeah. Well, I've also found too, there must be a thing because, we all talk about shooting lanes. But for whatever reason, right, you get a mess of birds, decoy, and it's inevitable that the closest ones everybody's eyes are attracted to. And so three guys would shoot at the same bird, and you get less out of your volley because of that, right? You just
There's
wasted
no
shells on
doubt.
the trip birds. So yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm always trying to pick ones out on either the far edge or they're a little taller or a little further out. The non-obvious ones is the ones I'm looking for. And
There's
that's
no
maybe some
doubt.
selfishness because I want to know if I hit stuff. Like, yeah, it's fun to wreck into a big flock and have a big rain out, but it's like, I don't know if I killed anything. It could have been three of us shooting at the same damn birds, And so, like, part of me is like the confidence side. It's like, I like to know that I'm getting my limit too,
Well, like just like you say that, like okay, there's a bunch of us, say there's eight of us. And we got a big group, and a whole big wad comes in, and it's a big rain out, and there's always a couple guys. I got that one. I got that one. And I'm like, but I don't know, because like I'm shooting, I'm not watching you shoot. We could be at the same bird, same time. Like that
every
happens
time.
all the time.
Oh,
So,
it's
and it's
part of
just like I'm
the.
just go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say that, like the whole drawing, short straws for bands and stuff. Like,
Oh yeah.
I'm like, if I didn't know, I cleaned it. If it wasn't me, like that band means nothing to me. Like, yeah, they're cool, but
For
it's
sure.
like, unless it was on the way outside and I was on that side, then I'll put my name in the hat. But if it's eight guys and the dog brought it back and nobody knows the bird picked up, I'm like, keep my name out of there. Cause I, like, let somebody
I'm
else that's
good.
going to appreciate it. It means nothing to me, right?
I know my limits, so I kind of stay out of those as well. And it's like if that was like way off to the right or left, and I wasn't there, or what if I wasn't involved in it, like for sure, I'm out. Like, I'm okay with that. So I just I just bail out of those. Yeah, I'm not in that. I'm not in that for that either.
It's
I'd
fun, don't get
rather.
me wrong. Like, I
Oh yeah.
like being a part of the excitement, but it's like having on my lanyard and I just probably didn't shoot it inside.
You know, like last year we were in Canada, and for some reason up there, Tyler and those guys, they the whole year they shot like five different snow lesser crosses last year. They shot five of them, and
That's cool.
we shot one. We shot one, and I never saw it. My distributor from Iceland, the Viking, who's always on the shows,
Was Compton was there with you, right?
yeah, Dan was with
Yeah,
us.
he sent me a
So
photo of that bird, yeah.
yeah, so we were on that lesser grind, and you know, they were sketchy and punchy all day, and you know, a couple groups centered up, and then a couple like couple would like kind of skirt us, and so there was a group that was coming over, and Tyler's like, "Do you guys want to try these to see if we could bump out a couple?" And they weren't tall. They weren't tall. And I literally had the dog, so I was like, "Well, these are mar they were marginal to me." So I was like, "I'm not gonna shoot." So I literally just put the gun down, and I was watching to see where everything went. And I never saw that bird, but the Viking was like, he picked that out on like the second turn and never took his eye off it. And he it came over and he shot it dead as a hammer. And the thing about it is only one other person, I think there was eight of us, only one other person saw it, but it wasn't in their lane to shoot, so they didn't shoot it. So I knew it was him. But the whole thing about it was, you know, he saw it, he focused on it, he pulled out,
Yeah.
he's a great shot for sure. You know, but it's stuff like that. Like, I never saw it. I didn't know what they were talking about. He was all jumping up and down, and I'm like, okay, you killed a goose. Like, you know, and I'm of course busting balls, right? So I'm like, hey, great, bro, you killed a goose. Like, I'm happy for you. He's like, no, wait till you see it. I'm like, okay. And then we see it and we're like, holy crap. So
Yeah, super cool.
yeah. So stuff like that happens, you know, and he is for sure laser focused and stuff like that. And it's happened to me on a caller here where it's like, you know, there's, you know, there's like 600, 700 cacklers and they start doing the circle.
Doing the
Somebody else caller. And I'm like, holy crap, there it is. So I see it. And now you're trying to, now you're trying to keep track of that in the wave. So it was like the first spin they saw it, and then the second turn I saw it, and I was like, holy crap. Then I got lost in the bunch, and then they bumped up a little bit, and then they came back around. I was like, I lost it. And they're like, everybody's like, I lost it. And literally they make a turn, and I don't know how this happens, but literally the first couple that had feet down and were just about landing in the decoys, like two guys touched off. They didn't even, nobody said anything. It was like the first one to come in, and I never saw it because I was looking through the
You're
group.
looking up top.
Never saw it. So the two guys who shot, and believe it or not, they only killed that bird, and then everybody else started shooting. I didn't even shoot because it caught me off guard. But so they shot a couple other birds, but those two guys. So the cool thing about it is it had a collar and a band. So they just said, you take the collar, you take the band. So they split it because they didn't know who killed it.
Easy. Yeah.
Because they, you know, because they totally saw it at the same time and just like dumped them. One shot, both of
Yeah.
them just stone dead. And, you
Yep.
know, cacklers aren't super big. So, you know, you can dump one of those no problem, especially like
Yeah.
we were tight. We were like 25 yards.
Oh,
It
yeah.
was easy. So,
Stone.
but it's not as easy as you think when they start doing that and they get mixed in. It's not like anything else. Same with the snows. Like, good luck. Good luck picking out something like that.
Mostly
Ain't
been
happening.
shifting all over and bouncing up and down.
Yeah. And
Good stuff.
now they're putting the white collars on the snows and then the black collars on the honkers and all the Canada's like, oh yeah, it's getting pretty wild. So
Much
that puts
poaching
a
with
twist.
22s, I suppose.
Huh?
Too much poaching with 22s are easy to pick out.
Yeah, and I think they also know, you know, that guys are going to target them no matter what. So
Yes.
they're looking like the cathode collars here are yellow. So we used to have a lot of blue lesser collars, and I haven't seen a blue lesser collar in forever. And then there's also a subspecies here out here where we can't shoot. It's a dusky Canada goose, and they did a long they did a study a long time at Oregon State, and they put green collars on them. And I think somebody said, I was talking to somebody last year. I think somebody said they shot the last supposed green collar like a couple of years ago. So that bird had to be like, I think 15 years old plus.
Getting
So
old.
it was a study a long time ago. I don't want to be quoted on that, but it said it was pretty old. And
Yeah.
then, but then they started putting on red collars so you could see them. So you're
Yeah,
like, don't
not
shoot.
too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the yellow ones, we're still seeing a fair amount of those. You could see them good. But like I said, they started changing all the colors. So maybe that'll help because I think the studies were getting a little skewed, you know, because
Oh,
you
yeah, these
go,
guys are targeted.
because I know in, I remember somebody telling me in Michigan that if, you know, when they got to a certain, they were saying, okay, so this collar, like for every one collar shot, there's say 500 geese or 1,000 geese shot or something. And it's like, if you reported so many collars to a certain point, bands, they would be like, okay, we're going to shut the season down because we harvested too many, which isn't the case. You know what I mean? So that was a tough one. I remember reading that. And then guys were saying, I'm not calling it in.
Yeah.
I'm not shutting down the goose season.
No.
So, but you know, I
It's
think,
more of just they're for tracking purposes, right? They just want to see where they're migrating to and from and doing stuff like that. That's why, like, for
So,
me to go like band hunt early season birds, it's like I would never do it because, first of all, like, it's not that cool to me to shoot one in my backyard that
no,
got banned. I want to shoot one from Nunavut or, you
I
know,
know, I
somewhere
know.
that's a 6-year-old band or something. I want it to be a surprise. I don't want to go
Yeah,
shoot
and
hatchling birds that just got banned 3 weeks ago.
well, and the other thing is I want that bird to make some travels so we literally
Yeah, you
get
get
some info
data.
off it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody gets
So
smarter.
I mean, and listen, guys could do whatever they want. If you want to get some
No.
bands, like I get it. Like I totally get it. But I'm also cool with like tracking them and seeing where that goes. You could see all this other stuff. It's pretty cool. And a couple weeks ago, I had on Paul Waite from Delta Waterfowl,
Oh yeah, I know
and
Paul.
oh my God, dude, he was going through numbers and like the way, because I was so concerned about us shooting three pintails this year, especially for us out here,
Yep.
because when December 1st hits or right around there, like we could shoot, you know, I could go every day, and I'm not saying like automatically, but if I sit there, I could shoot three pintails every day for 60 days, easy. Like not a problem. So, and he's like, well, some of the numbers were off, like the studies, like technology has gotten better. Like it was a whole conversation. It was incredible. It was incredible. And he laid a stat on me, which I don't know if you've heard it, but he said, this is going to blow your mind because us as hunters, and I know you've heard this since you were young, like we have to watch what we're doing, and we do, right? Like, don't shoot the hands. Like, do what you can. Like, you can shoot hands. It's in the rule book. Like, you could shoot two or whatever. It's in the rule book. Like, just so we're doing all that we can. So he says, he lays this percent on me that 90%, it was actually 91% of mortality in ducks happens from April, May to like July.
Yeah.
So he said, now, I'm not saying everybody just go wild this fall and just rip everything, but he was like, the amount of mortality that happens on the nest when they're nesting, like all that
Probably
has
molding and all
everything to
that.
do. Yeah.
Makes
So
sense. Yeah, your shows 100% have, you know, pretty little impact as a whole.
it is absolutely insane. So then I get into a whole conversation. It's like, well, then you better get the rifles out and start cleaning up the predators. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, let's talk
Yeah.
rifle ammo, right? So now it's like, let's go. So,
That is a
and
big thing. Raptors, all of them.
I think that's the thing that I don't think gets pushed hard enough is the whole predator control side. And no matter where you are, you have local ducks. You know what I
Oh,
mean? I don't care what state you're in, right? You have local ducks because I know I have them here, and I know that we push the predator side pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, coyotes out by us and some other predators, like, you can hunt them all year, and we try to, you know. But you know me on the crows and whatever. I will shoot a crow. I don't care if a big group of ducks are coming and crows come over. I'm totally taking them out because
those one.
they are awful on nests.
Yeah.
So I am like 100% going to clean every one of those up. So I think everybody needs to start really thinking about that too, because that percentage like blew me away. Like I never heard that number. That's so high. I can't even believe that's real, but it's real.
Yeah, it was interesting. When I was in college, I actually went to school for biology and chemistry, and that's kind of how I got my foot in the door here at Federal, was on the chemistry side. But for a long time, I wanted to be like a conservation officer or a biologist, you know, working in the outdoors, things like chicken, obviously. But I remember one of the grad students at the time presented to one of our classes, and his whole master's thesis was on mesal predator control. You know, it's talking about the skunks, the raccoons, the fox, you know, the smaller animals that are actively seeking out nests and nesting hens versus, you know, obviously coyotes are hard, and
For
it's
sure.
dependent on where you're at, but some of those other species are actively searching for these nests, right? And so that was the first time it came to my mind, or that I was enlightened, like, hey, you got to do your part on some of these smaller. Trappers are a big influence on duck populations.
For sure. Look at that tradition and how much trapping we're losing. I mean, there used to be an enormous amount of trapping. Obviously, like fur was, prices were better and stuff like that. So that's what I'm saying. Like everybody I'm talking to, I'm like, hey, like we gotta lean more on the predator side, and that goes for everything. You know what I mean? Like I'm excited this year to like chase a little bit more of those. Because here we could hunt at night, which is freaking incredible, which is a whole other like awesome thing. But I need to, I've told all my guys that I go with, I'm like, hey, we need to kind of press this a little harder this year because that percentage and that number to me is like insane. So we gotta push harder for sure. So the rifle ammo is stock, bro.
We make it.
You make all kind of stuff for sure. Yeah. Well, awesome. All right. Josh Vickers from Federal, bro. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the season. Like, hope you guys have a blast. If you need something from
Oh,
me, I'm here, buddy.
sounds good. Likewise.
You need another gun, I'm here. I'm for hire.
Okay. All right.
All right. If you want to check out their stuff, all you got to do is go to the Federal website. You could freaking like, oh my God, you can find every bit of information that you need. You guys are pretty hardcore on the info, as you should be, and the data. So if you're looking for something, and listen, like we talked about before, if you're in between buying something or you don't know what shell to use this year, like literally, I tell guys, go to the store, grab one box of whatever else you want to try, a couple. It's cool if there's a couple guys like, hey, you and a couple guys in your hunting party, everybody buy a box of something different and everybody try a couple shells out of it and see what everybody likes. See whose gun and choke likes this. If you're set on your guns and chokes and just go through a bunch of ammo and see like, hey, I like this. Oh, I like this one. That's the thing to do. That's easy.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd always say too, you know, we have a really good technical service team. They're all hunters and shooters and other products. So don't be afraid to call that tech service
Sure.
hotline, and they'll
For sure.
definitely point you in the right direction.
Yeah. All right, folks, if you want to hit us up, fabrand.com. If you want to check out the YouTube series, you can do that and go to our YouTube channel. Hit us up on social. We got everything. You could like, subscribe, see us, hate us, comment, whatever you want to do. We're there. Customer service is there too. We're always looking at that, making sure we're good. So that's the FA podcast for today. I want to thank Leupold, Rogers Sporting Goods, it's of course Weatherby, and of course Josh and everybody at Federal Ammunition. Appreciate you guys checking it out today. That is the FA podcast.